You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good morning, friends. Welcome into the Mike Allen Show here on this Friday, August 5th. We're to the weekend. I still got about, 12 days to go until the school semester starts, at least for Catholic schools here in this area. It may have already gotten rocking wherever you are. Summer seems to get shorter every year, but we've got today. Wasn't that an old Bob Seger song? Well, that's we got tonight. But we got this morning anyway, and in the next couple of hours, looking forward to spending with you. Here in about 30 minutes, my good friend Dr. Allen Alday will be here in the studio for his biweekly visit. It is biweekly, right? Not semi-weekly. I get those confused. But he'll be in to talk parenting issues. Dr. Alday, who is a professor at the University of Kentucky, he is a certified behavior analyst. He'll be the first to tell you he's not a therapist. He is not a counselor or a psychiatrist. He deals in the realm of behavior theory. He's also a dad, and so he also deals in the realm of behavior practice, not just theory. So we'll talk some about parenting issues and how oftentimes the behavior of everybody in the family has that impact that ripples throughout, including the behavior of parents. And we oftentimes think that the child is the behavior problem, but sometimes our own behavior facilitates the child's behavior problem. So anyway, believe me, the thing I love about Allen is very self-effacing, very conceding of the fact that, this is an adventure and there's no playbook that's always 100% right. So we'll talk about that a little bit with him. And if you've got questions, by the way, for Allen, whether you want to come on the air and ask them, you can call 573-4BREAD-4. You can also text that number, 573-4BREAD-4, if you want to remain anonymous. You can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com, or you can post your thoughts on Facebook or on Twitter. So we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. And then in the second hour, looking forward to having my friend Timothy Putnam in the studio. Timothy, who hosts a show on the weekends Outside the Walls. He also does some marketing work for us here at Breadbox Media. Timothy and his wife, Kristen, and their large family just recently moved here. Though Timothy lived here at one time when he was a student at Asbury Theological Seminary, which is an evangelical seminary just down the road from where we broadcast from. It also happens to be my alma mater. So Timothy and I, when we met, realized we had a good number of mutual friends, and both of us, of course, converts to the Catholic faith. So Timothy's going to be in the studio. If you've never caught his show Outside the Walls, he does a really good job with that, by the way. But we're going to talk about a couple things. One, we're going to talk about the presidential election. You may have heard that that's going on this year. We'll talk about that and what's a Catholic to do. We'll also talk some about Pope Francis's recently appointed commission to study the issue of women in the diaconate or women deacons, which is, as it seems like about every other thing Pope Francis does, caused a lot of hand-wringing and furrowed brows and all the rest. And we'll kind of get the skinny on that a little bit with Timothy when he's on the program. And we'll see what else we can get into. We'll also do our typical Spin the Dollar Catechism wheel, look back in history, and give out our What Were You Thinking awards. Again, if you want to be a part of the program anytime today, 573-4BREAD-4, you can call or text, or you can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. Also, I'll tell you a story in the next segment about an Olympian who has a special gratitude for some Catholic nuns. I hope you had a good day yesterday. I spent the night last night at another local Catholic church, one of these evangelization focus groups, talking about issues related to evangelization. We've been meeting in all these throughout the whole
diocese, the 50 counties of the Lexington Diocese, in my full-time gig as the director of evangelization, among other things. And we've just have some facilitated questions, and we talk evangelization. It's always, to me, it's encouraging, it's uplifting, it's energizing to hear people share the things that are going on, to hear about their own faith, as well as to see the possibilities that are there. I look forward to reading the transcripts of what will be 13 focus groups to get a better understanding of where things are in evangelization. But one of the things that got me that was shared last night, I asked the question, you know, what would, imagine a parish whose top priority is evangelization, is sharing the good news of Jesus outside of our walls. What do you think such a parish would look like, practically speaking? And this person there said, well, we would talk about it. We would talk about it all the time. It would be in our homilies. It would be in our conversations. I thought that was an excellent point. We don't talk about evangelization nearly enough. Or even throw out the word. If that word to you just seems like some sort of faddish code, just throw the word out. Do we talk about persons outside the parish? I mean, Jesus did not tell the world to go to church. He told the church to go to the world. That was his commission. Do we talk about it? Is it something we pray about? Does it work its way into our petitions at Mass for fallen away Catholics, for those who have no church home, for those who have yet to discover the fullness of the Christian faith in the church? Do we talk about it? I think that's a big, if we were to word map, you know, corporations do this sort of thing where they look at all their documents and all their missives and all the things that are sent out at a corporate level, and they analyze them. Sometimes we reveal more about ourselves than we think when we talk. What if we word mapped us? What is it that we talk about over the course of a day that tends to reflect what's burning within us? So it's a great point last night. And in an age in which for every convert in the door, every adult who wasn't raised Catholic who becomes Catholic, when we lose 6.5 out the back door, it's time to talk about evangelization. For sure. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can give me a call if you want to chime in. I'm going to be living the dream tonight. My son, who is a sophomore in local Catholic high school here, playing football. And tonight they have their season opening scrimmage, intra-squad scrimmage, and a dinner and all kind of stuff. Parents will all be there. But I get to have my debut as the PA guy for it's varsity scrimmage. It's kind of my chance to dry run dress rehearsal, so to speak, before the season starts on August 19th. Now, you got to know, when I was a kid, and I know you, if you listen to this show, particularly during the second segment, I get into sports stuff. It is a side love of mine and has been since I was 9 or 10 years old. When I was a kid, you know, most people dream of playing in the NFL or playing in the NBA. It became apparent early on that was not going to be a realistic dream for me. But being a sports announcer, now there you go. That was my fantasy. Of course, other things came about later. God called me to a full-time ministry and all the rest. But I've always had this little itch. So thanks to the people at the local Catholic high school, I get to scratch that itch tonight. So it should be fun. We're going to, here it's a Friday. Friday always marked with the sign of the cross for us as Catholics. This is why, by the way, Fridays are a special day of penance, whether that's expressed in abstinence from meat on Fridays, as it always is during Lent for Catholics. It's optional during the rest of the year, but we need to remember, of course, if we don't abstain from meat, there's some other penitential act we should observe on Fridays, and not only in memory of and in celebration of what our Lord did, but with the acknowledgement that suffering is our vocation in this life, that we are called. If you question that, then read the gospel today, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? We really find ourselves every day in a decision point of sorts in terms of whether we're going to live for the life of which we have a foretaste now, that life that is hidden with Christ in God, or whether they're going to live solely for the here and now. If one chooses to live for the life to come, the life of which we have in seed form now, we're going to suffer. You can bet that we will suffer. And that suffering is intrinsic to discipleship, as Jesus said. If you're going to follow him, you must deny yourself and take up your cross. Now, keep the context in mind. Jesus wasn't saying those words with history and the retrospective of the resurrection and gold-plated crosses and the ubiquitous sign of the cross and everything that's a part of the Catholic faith, in which we understand how Christ has redeemed that horrible instrument of torture. He was speaking this when the passion was yet to be and when the cross was evoked images of torture, of suffering, of abandonment, of the worst kind of persecution. This was what Jesus said is part and parcel of being his disciple. So if we suffer, when we suffer would be the more accurate thing. We should never feign surprise. It's part of our call. But when we unite that suffering with him, it is bitter indeed, but the sweetness of his presence with us can be a great source of strength. We'll be back with more on the other side of the break. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Minutes past the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on this Friday, August 5th. Like I said, every Friday marked by the sign of the cross and our Lord's suffering. And maybe think about that today. Every time you make the sign of the cross, which, by the way, is a sacramental, not a sacrament, right? But we do have these objects and actions that convey grace in their own particular way. I don't think we often reflect on the fact that even the sign of the cross is a prayer in and of itself. If you can't ever think of words to say in prayer, or you don't have the strength for words, just sign yourself with the sign of the cross, which I guess communicates both the fact that we are recipients of a great grace, all that grace which flows forward from our Lord's sacrifice, but we are also identifying as disciples of those who will bear the cross every time we make that sign. So worth thinking about for sure. Welcome into Breadbox Media. If you want to know more about Breadbox Media, of course, check out breadboxmedia.com. You can read about all of our various programs and contributors on each corner of this country and across the fruited plain. We've got folks in Denver, in Boston, in Florida, in Arizona, in Washington State, and of course, right here in the beautiful bluegrass. So check it all out, all through the lens of the Catholic faith. You can also figure out how you can podcast programs. If you miss a show, a part of one, or you want to check some out, just look for us on Podbean, on Google Play, and on iTunes. You can even subscribe. You can also find out how to be a friend of your favorite show. And through your support,
of that show, of course, receive exclusive online content. So all that and more at breadboxmedia.com. My question of the day relates to Pope Francis's decision to convene a commission to study the history of female deacons. Fred, I can't help but wonder if Father Federico Lombardi, the Jesuit press secretary for the Vatican, who just recently stepped down, he's going to be replaced by an American in that role. I've joked much about Father Federico Lombardi since he took over. I think he took over 5 years ago or something like that. No, I'm sorry, 10 years ago. He took over not long after Pope Benedict was elected to the papacy, and then he had the whole Pope Benedict had his whole Regensburg address in which he made some comments about Islam or read a quote about Islam that provoked all kind of backlash. And then, of course, that was mere prelude to his his constant press conference clarifying stuff he's had with the ever-controversial Pope Francis. Federico Lombardi, he's probably glad that he stepped down now that Pope Francis has commissioned has brought together a commission to study the historical role of female deacons in the Catholic Church. Rest well, Father Lombardi. Anyway, as you can imagine, it's created a lot of hand-wringing and brow-furrowing, and because, you know, there's this sense in which this commission is not just about this commission in the eyes of some. In the eyes of some, and depending on your point of view, this is either a good thing or a really bad thing. It's just a foot in the door toward women in the priesthood, which St. John Paul II said the church has no power to ordain women. It's not that women are somehow lesser or defective or anything like that. It's just there is a particular genius in femininity and masculinity. And our Lord, even though the church is sort of reticent to speculate on why, our Lord chose all men as his apostles, and they chose as their successors men, even though they were prominent women in the early church, even though the greatest woman in terms of the Catholic litany of saints is a woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary. There's no hierarchy of value of gender, but there is this historical tradition, which goes back to the time of Jesus. The church does not feel she has the authority to supersede. But there has been a question on the issue of deacons, right? Setting aside the priesthood for a minute. And so he has commissioned this group to study the historical role of female deacons in the Catholic Church, because there are all references in the scripture and in the early church to deaconesses. He had made this promise back on May 12th to a meeting with a group of nuns that the Vatican should study the question. And now the statement says, Pope Francis expressed his intention to establish an official commission that would study the question of the diaconate of women, especially with regard to the first ages of the church, the Vatican statement said. And after intense prayer and mature reflection, Pope Francis has decided to institute the commission for the study of the diaconate of women. The question is not whether or not there were women deacons in the early centuries of the church. The question is were they the same type of deacons as we have now who participate in the sacrament of holy orders, the first level of holy orders, of course, then priesthood, than the fullness of holy orders, bishops. So my question of the day relates to this. Do you think women will one day be ordained deacons in the Catholic Church? 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, if you want to call or text, or you can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. I know it's a can of worms. It makes for good radio. In their various opinions, do you believe women will one day be ordained deacons in the Catholic Church? That's my question. Some responses we've gotten on Facebook. You can always respond via Facebook or Twitter. Alan says, I do. Shannon says, no, I don't. I don't think ordination is possible. Ordination of women is closed. I believe that John Paul II removed any doubt about that for good. Deaconesses, sure, as assistants, aides, providers of certain spiritual and merciful works that often a deacon will offer, like visiting the sick, caring for the elderly, counsel, etc. I think there are roles women already fill too, but perhaps a title and certification track is something a laywoman might wish to pursue, a la pastoral studies. Don't see the big deal in that. I'm going to be talking about this at great length with Timothy Putnam in the second hour. So you can hold on to your hat for that. Of course, the big news sports-wise going on tonight, the opening of the Olympics in Rio, the Olympics that have been much talked about. Evidently, U.S. women's soccer team playing a couple of days ago down there, and I guess Hope Solo, who's not been one to avoid the spotlight or controversy, the goalie, who I've always claimed has the best name in sports history. I mean, you're a goalie, and your last name is Solo, and then your name is Hope. I mean, Hope Solo. It sounds like, you know, she was born on the Millennium Falcon or something. I mean, what a great name. Anyway, she had, I guess, tweeted out or Instagrammed or something some photo of herself saying she was going to be wearing a beekeeper suit because of the Zika threat. So they chanted Zika, Zika every time she touched the ball in the U.S. game the other day. So there's been a lot of chatter about safety of Olympians. Of course, there's a great story here on ESPN.com about how Olympians in Rio feel safe and excited. They're not worried about these things. So I'll tune in, hopefully, and be able to watch it a little bit tonight. The other cool story I saw, this is on Crux Now. I'll put this on the show's Facebook page. Gold medal swimmer thanks nuns for her success. This is about Katie Ledecky, who won a gold medal in the 2012 Olympics. After she won that gold in London, she visited the Immaculate Heart of Mary Sisters at their convent in Bethesda, Maryland, to thank the women religious who taught her at Little Flower School, and she's hoping to do the same after Rio. It's a cool story here about, you know, Super Bowl MVPs are known for going to Disney World. Swimmer Katie Ledecky made a different choice. Yes, she visited the White House, threw out the first pitch at a Nationals baseball game. Before all that, she and her mom visited the Immaculate Heart of Mary Sisters at their convent to thank the women religious who taught her at the Little Flower School. They also brought brownies baked by Ledecky's mom, and the sisters got to share in the former student's Olympic glory, and they peppered her with questions and took turns trying on her gold medal. So if you want to have somebody to cheer for, you might check out Catholic Ledecky. In a recent email interview with the reporter Kelly Seegers of the Catholic Standard of the Archdiocese of Washington, Ledecky said, "My Catholic faith is very important to me. It has always been, and it always will be. It's a part of who I am. It helps me put things in perspective." So that's pretty cool. So Katie Ledecky, keep an eye on her. All right, let's move on to our What Were You Thinking nominees of the day. Oh, we've got some good ones here. We'll start with the simple here. Londoner arrested after driving his car the wrong way for about 5 miles on the motorway. The problem is he also happened to have 12 kilograms of suspected marijuana found inside the car. Again, if you are driving around with lots of criminal contraband in your vehicle, obey the laws. Be sure you're not driving on the wrong side of the road. Anyway, crazy stuff. Number two nominee, go dumb or go home, as we like to say. Officer says she wasn't aware Confederate flag offends some. A police officer fired for flying the Confederate battle flag at her suburban Atlanta home said she had no idea the emblem was controversial. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great move. But our winner, as always, go dumb or go home. We're going to give to Planned Parenthood for a whole lot of reasons. But let's just say for this reason, Planned Parenthood tweets out at a criticism of Donald Trump shushing a baby and kicking him out. He said, add babies to the list of people Donald Trump would kick out of his campaign rallies. Really, Planned Parenthood? That's where you want to go? Criticizing people for not welcoming babies? Irony lost on some. We'll be back with Dr. Allen all day. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Right at the bottom of the hour, back on the Mike Allen Show, here on this Friday, August 5th, the feast day of the dedication of St. Mary Major, one of the four really main churches there in Rome, and Blessed Mother, pray for us. I'm glad to have you in the studio this morning, especially glad because he brought in donuts, my friend Dr. Alan Alday. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
And you know the way to a man's heart, don't you?
That's right. Through a donut.
Through a donut.
Through greasy, round, fried.
I thought those were like healthy. I thought they're healthy donuts.
Well, you know, I'm from Alabama. Everything that's fried is healthy. So
yeah, there you go. What is it that comedian Jim Gaffigan says? You know, why police officers like donuts? Because everybody likes donuts.
Exactly. And nothing like a nice warm donut too. So
oh yeah. So anyway, too bad that we can't shove one through the microphone to you listening. But you know, that's just part of it. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so things going well, and littlest all day incubating right along.
And everything's going well so far. So thankfully, Carrie's healthy. Baby's healthy. So boys are excited. So everything's going okay.
So you went for the ultrasound hoping to find out boy or girl. So we've always been the kind, you know, you don't open your packages before Christmas. So, you know, we always like the surprise, but you like to find out.
Yeah, I don't do well with that surprise. So we're the kind that we want to know, because we, you know, we'll give a name and go by the, and we'll go, you know. And of course, baby was very modest with arms behind the head and legs crossed. And I thought, well, of course you're going to be the two boys. Their legs were wide open. It was very easy to tell. So at least, hopefully, if it's a girl, she's modest already.
There you go.
And that whenever she's 20, she'll still be that modest.
you know, I certainly whatever God wants for you is what I want, and your happiness, but. Little boys are great. Little girls are pretty sweet too. So
yeah, healthy. We'll go with healthy. And you know, it's just so different because of having two boys. We're kind of good with that. We know what to do with them.
That's why you need to have your life discombobulated a little bit, Alan. It'll be good for your sanctification.
Well, that's one way to think about it.
You know, we had four girls before we had a boy.
Yeah.
And so by the time the boy was born, our oldest boy, I didn't even look between the legs when the baby was emerged. Yeah, I just assumed it was a girl.
Yeah.
The doctor had to tell me you've had a boy. So anyway,
you're like, hey, surprise! I guess it's the pluses and minuses for both, and it'll be interesting. So we're excited, and it's what a beautiful. I mean, I just am so amazed at the fact that you know you can see. I mean, the baby moving, and I mean it's you know
it's fascinating, isn't it? The idea that human beings can participate with God in the creation of an eternal soul is staggering. It's a mystery of mysteries.
Oh, it's beautiful. And just the fact that, I mean, I'm so thankful that we live in a time of technology where we can see.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, even, you know, even the boys were in there with us and, you know, they could pick out the heartbeat and they could, you know, I mean, it's just...
Oh, man, I bet Solomon and Noah were all over that.
Oh, they, you know, they had a lot of questions. So Noah asked the doctor if he was going to cut the baby out with a chainsaw. And he's like, no, we might not use that.
Yeah, Carrie may not like that. So anyway, if you've got a question here for Alan Alday related to baby behavior issues, he's a behavior analyst, professor at the University of Kentucky, works with a lot of schools, families on issues related to child behavior, parent behavior, how they impact one another. Call or text 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, or email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. You don't have to come on the air. You can just ask your question, and we'll see what the doctor is in. We'll see what Dr. Alday has to say.
You got a topic in mind today, or
you know, it's funny because I was thinking, oh, what could we talk about, and you know, and it's, I think simple ain't easy. So we're heading down to Alabama this weekend, so I can throw out ain't, I guess. So simple ain't.
Oh, we use ain't in Kentucky all the time. You're good.
Simple ain't always easy. And, you know, and there's a couple of things, I guess, that kind of made me think about this. We're sponsoring some people for RCIA, and we had Father Jim Sitchko last night spoke, and one of the things that he spoke about was the importance of us catechizing other people or sharing the gospel, because he was talking about the joy of the gospel mm-hmm. from Pope Francis and how we need to share the gospel and all. And, you know, and you think about that and talking to other people, but that's not always an easy thing to do. Probably the place where it's the hardest to do that is under your own roof.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, it's the people that you're most likely to fuss at or to be snide with. Or, I mean, I can just, you know, we're good hypocritical Southerners in the sense that we can be, and then somebody comes, oh, hey, how are y'all doing? It's so good to see you, you know. And then we're, you know, and that's a, I think, you know, we put on our best face for the public and we take off and we, you know, we take off our mask whenever we're at home. And I think that's one of the things that kind of hit me last night is, the most important place to share the gospel is in your own house. I mean, and that's the hardest place to do it too. And that's why I say, you know, it's simple because it's your wife and it's your children and it's your husband and your children. But that's actually probably one of the hardest places to do it.
Yeah, boy, isn't that ironic? I mean, the people that you love the most are the people sometimes to whom we are the worst.
Right. Because of, I think, you know, probably from a behavioral perspective, because you have a history with them of they're going to still love you, kind of almost like no matter what you do. And so therefore you can be nasty to them because they're still going to love you. But you see, you know, somebody you work with, if you're nasty to them, well, they may not like you anymore. And I mean, it's just it's an interesting thing, but kind of bringing it back to the whole, why is it, what does this have to do with parenting? I mean, I think this has everything to do with parenting, because we really are, and I know we've talked about this before on here, but we really are the first teachers of our children. I mean, Right. We're the most important teachers of our children. I mean, you know, you can ship your kids off to the CCD, or you can ship them off to school and like, well, the teachers will get it. But I mean, what is going to shape your kids more than anything mm-hmm. else is you.
Well, and if somebody thinks to themselves, well, but I don't feel qualified, I'm not comfortable to teach my child. You are teaching your child.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I mean, it's not a question of whether, it's whether you're teaching them well or teaching them poorly, but you're the curriculum.
Yeah, and that's the hardest part. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I know I struggle with is, you know, I know some of my failures. I know this past week I got a little short with Carrie and, you know, and some of the things, and I watch how that affects the kids whenever I'm short with her. And I think, wow, it really has a, you know, the way that I talk to her and the way that I treat her, these boys, they're watching me and they're going to be more likely to treat their wives the way that I treat her. And that's, you know, and you think about that and, you know, it's pretty powerful to think that, you know, I'm affecting potentially multiple generations of our family. And the
funny, what's that old line, when you're raising your children, you're raising your grandchildren?
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, and not that we're going to all do it perfectly. I mean, for goodness sakes, we all are going to fail. I mean, that's part of the beauty of being a parent, I guess. But the thing is, when you think about it, like, you know, when I look at Noah at 3.5, I need to look at Noah as a 33.5-year-old, not a 3.5-year-old. What do I want him to be like when he's 33, not when he's 3? Because he's going to be an adult longer than he's a child, and I have no greater authority over him now than I will right now. And so what do I need to do, and what do I want him to be like? Do I want him to pray? Do I want him to, you know, do I want him to be nice to people? Do I want him to speak kind words? What are the things I want him to do? And then, you know, then that brings it back to, again, the thing that's really simple, but it ain't easy, is reinforcing those behaviors that and actually calling them for what they are. And, you know, telling him, you know, showing self-control. Why, you know, I know you, when Solomon took that toy, you really wanted to push him, but you didn't. And that's self-control, you know, and labeling these things that he's going to hear in church, and labeling the things that I want him to be like, you know, talking about, I know one of the things that Carrie has done, which I really appreciate, is, you know, when they go like to the, to like Target or Walmart or Meijer or whatever, going in and they see a toy and they want it. And she labels it, I know this is very tempting to want this, and I know it's really hard, you know, but we can't get it, but it is tempting. And so now the nice thing is the boys can just say, you know, gosh, I'm so tempted by that. And like, yeah, it is tempting.
Sure.
Because now we're labeling things. And so whenever they become a teenager and they're tempted by other things, you know, we can begin to label that and teach them to avoid temptation, or at least to better overcome some temptation.
Some temptations are harder to overcome when they're brought to you in a donut box.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say.
I'm sitting there looking through the window at them right now. Anyway, we'll be back with Dr. Allen all day. If you got a question, 573-4-BREAD-4. This is The Mike Allen Show. Is Alan all day. Hopefully see you back in a few weeks.
Yeah, hope so.
All right. We'll be back with a new hour with Timothy Putnam here on The Mike Allen Show.
Listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.